Hello, this is Pastor Stolz. I'm so happy that you could join us once again this evening for our second Advent service. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. In the name of the Triune God, we gather for worship. We are here, O God, for many reasons. But all of us seek your forgiveness and mercy. Forgive wherever we have done wrong. And, O Lord, give unto us the forgiving joy of your salvation, so that we may share your love with others as you have shared it with us. Let us join in as we confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all of my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious unto me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A reading from Micah, chapter 4, 1 to 7. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against a nation, and neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of our Lord God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast out a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. So far. A reading from Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comforts of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be of the root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So far. The Gospel, St. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So far. It is especially during the season of Advent that we Christians reflect on the many mysteries that surround our Savior. Now, perhaps it's a moot point to consider that although Christ was never given a teddy bear or a Tonka truck, each year countless toys and presents are given in His name. We recall that Jesus never had a home of His own, but because He told His disciples to minister to the poor, many homeless have found shelter. We remember that although Jesus never had food in great supply, following His example, Christians have tried to feed the hungry throughout the world. Although Jesus never received a high school diploma, numerous institutions of learning have opened to proclaim His name. Large libraries could be filled with the books about a man who never wrote a single line of literature. In the name of the Christ child, medical missionaries have been sent throughout the world to heal. Hospitals have been built to bring relief, yet, with just a few words, Jesus was more effective in healing than all the miracles of modern science, modern medicine. Especially at Christmas, we see, but can never fully understand, the mystery of Christ, who although willing to die for others, never allowed the dead to remain dead in His presence. We see, but cannot fully understand, the mystery of Jesus Christ. In spite of His hatred directed against Him during His life, today He is more respected. His name is known and revered more than any other person who has ever walked this earth. Consider the mystery of Jesus Christ. He never had a position of power, but without hesitation, millions acknowledge His leadership in their lives. Although He is recognized by labor and management, Republican and Democrat, rich and poor, free and slave, He was loyal to only one authority and mission, His Heavenly Father's plan of salvation, to save the world from sin and damnation. Especially at Christmas, do we realize that Jesus is more than just an annual Savior of the economy. He is the Savior of our souls. We can sum up His life in a very simple sentence. Jesus was born, lived, died, rose, and intercedes for us. Period. Thinking upon these mysterious manifestations of God's love, personified in the person of the Christ child, we love to hear those words once again. For unto us is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Those are just a few of the mysteries that we think upon as we prepare to remember the Savior's birth. As we prepare to welcome the Savior once again, we unfortunately realize that there are those who don't want to know this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us. They think that God should stay out of their lives, out of their business. They maintain that sin is all in the mind of the hyper-religious. They might claim some kind of superficial relationship with the church, but they do so only as an insurance policy. They're not sure whether there is a place such as hell, but if there is, they're pretty sure they don't want to go there. So they kind of, sort of, maybe believe just a little bit. They're really not serious enough to repent of their sins. They want a little bit of the Savior, just enough to allow them to still do what they want, when they want, without any reaction or retribution from God. These people do not want to understand the mystery of God, namely Jesus Christ. The mystery again, it's a mystery that when humans sinned, turning their backs on God and all the blessings that He wishes to give them, that He did not turn His back on them. It's a mystery that God was willing to seek those people whose greatest goal in life is to ignore him. It's a mystery that God would remember his promise to send a Savior when his people had completely forgotten about him. It's a mystery that Jesus Christ was willing to preach to those who would not listen to him, reach out for those who slapped him, warn the disciple who denied him, to tell the truth to those who lied about him, and to forgive those who crucified him. This is indeed a great mystery. Why did God so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Why did God make it so that whoever believed in him will not perish, but have everlasting life? But what's also a great mystery to me is that people do not want God's great treasure, this thing which has come to pass. These people are all around us. They are the people whose houses are decorated this Christmas with festive lights and ornaments, but whose hearts remain in darkness. Their arms may be filled with packages and gifts, but their lives are missing God's gift. These are the adults who once years ago stood up and said their parts in the Sunday school Christmas program, but now have no need to know the mystery of God. So many of them have not been back to the manger since the day they were confirmed. Have they forgotten that which was once so very precious to them? How has the world managed to put together things in front of their eyes so that they no longer have a desire to come and to see this thing which has come to pass? There are far too many people who think they have seen what God has done for them by merely standing in the stable's doorway. They have forgotten their great need for God's mystery. They prefer to live in darkness, staying away from the treasure that is ours in Jesus Christ. Every congregation knows of parents who once brought their children to be baptized. They made a commitment to help those little ones learn about salvation that God has brought them through Christ. It is more than tragic that since that day, they haven't brought their babies back to see this salvation, which has come to pass. These parents are willing to drive to the mall and stand in line for an hour so that they can have their children's picture taken on Santa's lap. But they will not spend that much time bringing their children to know Christ. How will they ever receive wisdom and knowledge? Unless and until they take their children to see the manger of Bethlehem, the cross of Calvary, the empty tomb of Easter, until they know that Christ died for their sins and rose again, the treasure of the wisdom and knowledge of salvation shall remain hidden, and they will die in their sins. How has Satan managed to confuse the simple story of salvation? Well, I guess you have to ask the people who once knew. If you really want to know the mystery of God, then you must follow the advice of the angel and join the shepherds as they do to see this thing which has come to pass. If you wish to see God's great mystery of grace, then go to Bethlehem, enter the stable, and look into that manger. Amen. We make a confession of our faith. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. We continue with the Advent Litany. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thou that sittest at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. Thou who was silent before thine accusers, open our lips to speak your praise. Help us to bear witness to thee, our Lord and Redeemer, who did humble thyself, teach us true humility. Thou who did willingly bear thy cross, help us to accept whatever cross may be placed upon us. Thou who didst pray, Abba Father, teach us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Thou who didst say, I am a king, hallowed be thy name. Thou who didst pray, not my will, but thine be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thou who didst hunger and thirst, give us this day our daily bread. Thou who didst ask forgiveness for thine enemies, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Thou who was tempted in the wilderness, lead us not into temptation. Thou who did command thy soul into the hands of thy Father, deliver us from evil. Thou who was crowned with thorns, thine is the kingdom. Thou who did sink into the arms of death and on the third day rise again, thine is the power. Thou who did redeem us from sin, death, the devil, and hell, thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.